Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt. Nikki, we are back.
We're back.
We are really back.
Yes, we are.
And it's Sunday morning.
Yes, it is.
A week after the outstanding, tremendous, over-the-top, incredible 24-hour coverage of the Asabo canoe race.
I know.
Did I say the river?
Asabo River Canoe Marathon.
Marathon.
It was unbelievable.
I, unfortunately, was not present, but so what? 98.5 represented. The racers were incredible. The spectators, the sponsors, and boy, did the station do an amazing job.
Yes, it was a lot of work. We all put in a lot of hours, but it was worth it, and it all came together very well.
And I'm happy to be back.
Yes, I'm happy to be back.
I know. What are we going to talk about?
Well, you got a lot of papers there again.
No, listen. If you spent 24 hours with yours truly, you would be amazed, one, at the amount of information that is ciphered through this brain and how much talking I do. I love to help people.
Right. Yes,
look,
you do.
I'm an attorney because I love to help people. That's why I became an attorney. I became an attorney because I had a mother that was never paid child support. I had a deadbeat father.
Okay.
I saw all kinds of things growing up. I got in some trouble when I was a kid myself. When I say trouble, I made some poor choices.
Right.
I saw things in college I was not happy about.
Okay.
So instead of sitting around just complaining about it, I wanted to help people who were in my situation as a young man growing up.
Oh, there you go.
I was going to be a family lawyer and go after parents, both mothers and fathers, who didn't pay child support.
Okay.
But as it may be, I just fell into what I do now right off the bat after Detroit College of Law, after 1992, because I love helping people.
Right.
So
and you help a lot of people.
I try.
Yeah.
But we have a huge show.
I know we do.
Look at all the papers.
I know.
Big shout out first before we start to our good friend, Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob.
The people listened. He worked his tail off along with his volunteers. And Dr. Bob won the primary as a Democrat in the 97th district.
That is awesome.
So
I am so happy he won.
And he's going to be coming back on the show. So we love you, Dr. Bob, and we still need everyone in November to vote for Dr. Bob.
Okay, yes, please.
Let's not forget about that.
Correct.
Because we need the right people in office.
Oh, definitely we do.
And he's definitely for the people.
And we need more people like that.
I have some complaints.
Okay.
But before I get to my complaints, I want you to know that I love that T-shirt.
Oh, thank you.
You have a large... Excuse me? What?
All right.
You have a large colored heart.
Yeah, it reminds me of an Easter egg.
With all due respect, the large colored heart is placed at century. It's sort of, if you look at someone's body, the heart, the top of the two hearts, you know, if you make a heart, they are both placed sort of towards the V of that T-shirt.
Okay.
And it's just saying with quotes, Todd, look at this heart. The heart is like shouting my name. So I'm sorry to be looking at the heart. No disrespect.
Apology accepted.
But you're sitting behind a microphone,
yeah.
And all I see are the two egg shaped of the top of the heart.
Right, I know.
Strategically placed on the upper half of your T-shirt. I'm just saying, it's a visual for the audience.
Okay.
But I like the half of the heart.
Well, thank you.
And I mean it respectfully.
Thank you.
Accepted?
And I really like your tie.
I look pretty good right now.
I like that tie.
This is sharp.
That's just a nice navy color.
I wear a shirt and tie to the show because I feel when you you know, when you wake up and you take a shower and you look good and you feel good, you have confidence.
Right.
Put on some cologne, old school Jacquard, because I'm done with Polo back in 1988. But when I do the show, I mean, I feel confident whether I'm in a t-shirt and boxers. But my point is, I come here with a shirt and tie because this is who I am.
Right, it is.
I'm an attorney, and we're doing a law show, so I want to, you know, I'm ready to go.
That's right.
I'm fired up.
That you are.
So before I get to my complaints, we're going to talk about open carry laws.
Okay.
In relation to having a pistol, a CPL.
Right.
Open carry. We're going to talk about that briefly. We're going to talk about some dog bite cases.
Okay.
And we have a lot of other issues to talk about.
Okay.
We have updates.
Good. We need
first,
the updates.
My complaint.
All right.
And I'm just not happy about this. I'm on my way to the show.
Okay.
I'm on my way to the show. And again, I'm going through a construction zone. Is there something wrong with half of the citizens, I was trying to come up with some fancy word. Is there something wrong with citizens out there? Do they not understand when you're in a construction zone and there's workers present that you're supposed to be down to 45 miles an hour?
It's self-explanatory and there's signs everywhere.
I am always being tailgated by someone, and I know they're from downstate where you and I are originally from.
Right.
Because they're in these fancy cars in a rush to go north because they're all stressed out and they're trying to get north or they're trying to get home. I am not speeding in a construction zone. I don't care how close they get to my bumper. I'm not speeding.
No.
So I just want to complain about that because I'm sick and tired of people, you know, not following the law and putting our sons and daughters, friends and family members who work these construction jobs, whatever type of construction, whether it's electrical, underground drilling, working on pipelines, putting their lives at risk.
Well, definitely.
Enough's enough.
Yes, I agree with you.
And as always, keep the motorcyclists safe.
Yes, please.
But I'm tired of being tailgated, and my other complaint is I was really thirsty the other day. I mean, just really thirsty.
Okay.
And I wanted a Diet Verner's.
All right.
Because if you have, I like to keep my stomach regular.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
So forget about it. I'm just saying.
All right, so you like Diet Verner's.
Because that's what my grandmother Zelda used to tell me. And it's true, if you talk to a gastroenterologist, Verner's is okay for your tummy.
Oh, all right.
Please consult with a medical doctor before taking any advice from this show.
Yes, please.
I go to a station that will remain unnamed.
Okay.
They had one Diet Verner's left.
All right.
I really wanted this Diet Verner's. I mean, I was dehydrated. I should have been drinking water or Gatorade.
Correct.
But I wanted the Diet Verner's because I want a little bubbly in my nose.
All right.
And not liquor or champagne. I'm talking Verner's.
Correct.
I take the Verner's out of the case. I walk up to the counter. And sure enough, I've complained about this before. The young lady behind the counter, first she coughs. Then she grabs the top where the cap is of the bottle and scanned it. And
in the hand she just coughed in.
In the hand she just coughed in.
Oh, no.
I'm already not even touching that bottle.
Well, no. You went through that in a grocery store already.
I prefer, if there's any grocery store people out there or convenience store operators or gas station attendants, if we know each other, when I come through, can I please scan my own bottle?
But aren't you supposed to be coughing into the crease of your elbow? That's where they always tell you to cough.
Who is they?
Anybody I've ever heard when I worked in with the public like that, if you had to cough in the crease of your elbow so you're not using your hands.
Guess what? If there was a way, and I know there is a way, to actually focus on the cough itself and the mucus and what you cannot see that's invisible to the eye, I guarantee you, even if you do it into your elbow, which is much better than a hand, it's still spreading down your arm. Again, don't rely upon anything I'm telling you medically because I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
But at least it would have been a lot cleaner than coughing into a hand and then touching your groceries.
I watched too much Gilligan's Island as a kid. I loved Gilligan. I'm just saying. I don't know where I get this
Gilligan's
information.
Gilligan's Island.
But I was very upset, and I said to the young lady, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to go grab a root beer. Caffeine-free.
Okay.
You know, caffeine's also easy on your tummy. And I was just really disappointed because that was the last Verner's.
Yeah, that would be very disappointing.
No, I was just upset.
Yeah.
It's like, don't people think...
That was rude, actually. Very rude.
You know, here's why I forgive her. I wasn't even upset with her, albeit a complaint. She was a young lady. She was working convenience store, probably not being paid too much. You know, it was the time of day where she probably would rather have been home, maybe with her kids or doing something else, but she was working hard for the public. I'm still not happy about it, but at the end of the day, she was the one working, and I was just buying a Verner's.
Right.
So it's okay.
Okay.
How do you like that?
That was very big of you to do that.
I'm just saying, wouldn't you be upset?
I would be upset, yes.
I was really
upset. And I probably wouldn't have taken the Verner's either.
No. No. Hey, I want to give a big shout out. We have a lot of law to get to here, folks. So, hey, if you're just tuning in, I'm attorney Todd L. Levin, and you are?
Nikki Morissette.
And if you're just tuning in.
What took you so long?
Well, where have you been?
I know.
I think we're up to 30 listeners.
Well, that is a big jump.
Yeah, no, huge jump.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I'm really happy about that.
Yes, that is great news.
I have a buddy of mine. He's a Marine.
Okay.
Okay, and he was deployed.
All right.
He is a Purple Heart recipient. I say that right?
Yes.
Recipient. And his name is Michael Zach.
Okay.
Good friend. And I just want to thank, first of all our veterans who have served and who are, you know, currently serving, and all their families for the sacrifice they make.
Oh, definitely.
Big supporters of the military. Now, my good friend Michael Zach, he is, let me just say, he listens to the show. I've known Michael, and I spoke with him and, you know, requested permission to talk about Michael because
okay.
You just don't want to talk about somebody on the air.
No.
Especially everything he's been through.
Right.
But
right.
I just want to say this. I'm glad he's alive.
Oh, definitely.
Because if you knew his story, this is a true hero.
Okay.
Literally. A Marine Purple Heart recipient. Sorry, I apologize. But when he got back from combat.
Okay.
And he came up with an idea. And his company is just absolutely amazing. It's BLVisuals.com, BlackLightVisuals.com. And it was created by his friend Brad Lawrence. Brad was diagnosed with chronic tendonitis in his wrist. And Brad was someone who could sculpt and draw. And Michael and Brad are best friends. So Brad started designing things for therapy, for art therapy.
Okay.
And then both Michael and Brad came up with this idea, and they debuted their arm-dipping idea at the Electric Forest Festival in 2013. These two guys, are you ready for this? You got to check out their website, BL Visuals. They take different color paint. What these guys came up with, they take acrylic paint, and it floats on a fluid surface. And the pigments are manipulated into patterns and designs. And the colors are transferred directly upon dipping. They can take this acrylic paint and they can float it on water. They've been all over the news. They've been on national news. They've been written up for this. They came up with a concept. It is the most stunning thing. I never heard of this. It's absolutely stunning what they do. So this is a veteran. He's just an amazing man. And here's what he does. You want to know what Michael does?
Yeah.
He travels the country with his dog.
Really?
And his girlfriend. And you know what he does? He meets people. He goes camping. He's alive. I mean, after what he did for our country and for our freedoms.
Yes.
As a Purple Heart recipient. Can you say that for me?
Recipient.
Recipient. Purple Heart recipient. You know, he came back from the war. And he came up with this idea with his friend Brad, and it's go to BL Visuals. Support my good friend Michael Zach. BL Visuals, they have a shop, a gallery, they have multimedia, they have bookings. You would not believe what these two have done, and it's amazing. And again, they take acrylic paint. It's safe, and it floats on surfaces, and the pigments are manipulated into patterns and designs. And you know, I support veterans, I support the military, and I want to give a huge shout out to my good friend Michael Zach for everything he has done for us and his brilliant idea that has helped him recover and other veterans recover as well while the rest of us get to enjoy their creations.
That is wonderful.
So check that out, blvisuals.com. And when we come back from break, I want to talk about open carry.
Okay.
Because I've been getting a lot of calls about this. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Nikki, we're back.
We're back.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, what took you so long?
Yes, what took you so long?
And we're trending on iTunes.
Yes, we are.
We're podcasting big time on iTunes.
I know. It's amazing.
Dr. Bob Peterson, huge show.
I'm glad to hear that.
Brandon McQueen, we've had some huge shows.
Yes, we have. And we're going to have more coming up in the near future.
A lot more shows.
A lot more.
I get calls all the time. And these calls, I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Correct.
I specialize in driver's license restoration. But also, I handle cyber crimes now.
Okay.
I deal a lot with issues relating to cyber issues. People that have issues on social media, small companies, large companies, anything and everything to do with anything cyber.
Okay.
We're starting to do a lot of work in that area. We'll get to those issues more in weeks to come.
Yeah.
But I represent a lot of individuals over the years who are convicted of drinking and driving offenses.
Right.
And in the state of Michigan, if you're a CPL holder and you are convicted of impaired or operating while intoxicated, you will lose your CPL for a period of 3 years.
Really?
Yes.
Now, that I did not know.
But guess what?
What?
We are an open carry state.
Yes.
So just because you lost your CPL, you still have a right to open carry.
Ah, so exactly. There's a loophole.
You can call it a loophole. So if you're not a CPL holder, you can still open carry. But here's the conflict. If you open carry, it means open carry. It has to be open to the public where it is in view.
Right. Okay.
And where I have clients and individuals who call me that get themselves in trouble is where they are open carrying, which I'm all for, by the way.
Right.
Big Second Amendment people, you and I.
Yes.
Is when they have if it's getting cold out and they have an overcoat and they're open carrying and the coat covers
it's
concealed.
Ah.
Now they're facing legal issues.
Wow. Okay.
But here's the other issue. If you're open carrying and you want to get in your motor vehicle, it's no longer an open carry. You're now concealing it to the public view.
Because it's in the vehicle.
So what do you do?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Well, obviously, you take your sidearm, if it's a sidearm. You know,
right.
Let's say it's a handgun.
Okay.
You take your handgun out of the holster.
Right.
You take the clip out. If it's
correct.
A clip, you might not have a clip. It might be different. It depends on what it is.
Right.
Okay. You put it in a case, unloaded. So you take it off your hip, and you put it back in the trunk of your vehicle.
Right. Out of reach of
right.
Out of your reach.
Now, I feel you're following the law.
Correct. Yeah, that would be.
So, but that's where there's a conflict. People aren't sure, you know, once I'm open carrying, when is it considered concealed? Well, once a concealed is concealed.
I never would have thought about it with my coat, though. I just never would have thought about that. If it's on your belt, you don't think about your coat at the time concealing it.
Well, you should have a holster.
Right.
A firearm holster that you're able to expose it.
Correct.
Now, there's a lot of people that are uncomfortable with walking out in public and seeing somebody with a sidearm.
Yes, some people are.
I feel safer knowing that there's people out there doing that.
Correct. I feel safer knowing that I got others around me carrying a gun, too.
The men and women that do open carry that I know are some of the most responsible individuals, and I'm glad they're out there because if something goes down, they're in a position, hopefully.
Correct.
And always follow the law.
Right.
To do something about it.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Yes, it is very interesting. Now I know.
I do feel that the CPL laws are a little, they're very brutal. I mean, you get an operating while impaired. A 4-point misdemeanor, okay, with a 90-day restricted license, and, you know, under the Constitution, the Second Amendment, you have a right to bear arms.
Right.
To protect ourselves against the government, by the way, if you read the Constitution.
Correct.
I've read the Constitution. But yet, the government is going to impede your ability to, you know, to possess that CPL.
I know.
You know. Now, you can still...
For 3 years
Well,
yet.
You can still own a firearm.
Well, at least you can still own one.
Well, absolutely.
Because pretty soon, aren't they going to try to take that away? They're trying.
Look, I'm going to say this. To me, it doesn't matter who's president. Because here's something I want to talk about. The Second Amendment is not going anywhere.
Right.
I don't care who's president. They're not going to take our Second Amendment away from us. I know a lot of people think it's going to be gone. It's never going to be gone. There's too many of us that won't allow, I mean, that will politically gather as a group. As you know, there's the NRA out there.
Correct.
There's other organizations that believe in the Constitution. I don't see any of our, I mean, our constitutional rights have been completely destroyed.
Yes.
Folks, it doesn't, what folks need to do is this. You need to pay attention. Think about this. Here's my statement. And I wrote about this. When you wake up in the morning and you go throughout your day, think about how the federal government compared to the state and local municipalities affect your daily lives. When you wake up in the morning, let's say it's time to take the garbage out. You know who controls that? The president, whoever's elected president, does not control when you take the garbage out. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. When you decide to build a house in the state of Michigan, and let's say you're near a river or you're near a roadway, the federal government does not control how far off the river or the water line or the roadway your house has to be placed.
Correct.
Okay. The building codes within, you know, when your house is built, electricals and, you know, the cement and whatnot. I mean, there are federal regulations. There's things that you have to follow. Maybe the cement material. Maybe there's federal laws and regulations that states can only use certain material that's not toxic.
Okay.
But for the most part, these ordinances are created by the men and women who live in your neighborhood that sit on your county commissions.
Right.
And are trustees and oversee the communities that you live in.
Correct. You're right.
That's not the federal government.
No, it's not.
Exactly. Now, here's another thing. Okay. When you operate a motor vehicle on a highway open to the public, 70 miles an hour, correct?
Yes.
Is that the state or federal government?
State.
State, exactly.
Yeah, because each state has different speeds.
It's the state of Michigan.
Right.
It's not the federal government.
No, it's not.
There you go. So, and certain states have emission
yes,
laws.
Yes, that's right. I remember those.
So are the pollution, the air quality, now there are the federal government does have certain laws in place to protect the EPA to protect, you know, Environmental Protection Agency.
Right.
But states have sovereign authority. So if you really pay attention, folks, to how your life is controlled, you need to pay attention to who you are electing locally. Okay, let's talk about your kids that go to school locally. Is that the federal government or is that the local school board in the state?
That's local.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Who are you electing to the school board? When is the last time you paid attention to the school board election or the county commissioner?
You're
or
right.
Or who's running for city council or who the mayor is? Or how about this? If you really want to pay attention to how your life is controlled, pay attention to who sits on the Michigan Supreme Court. We talk about medical marijuana all the time.
Yes.
Okay? It's the men and women we elect to the House and Senate and governor who are blocking the people's initiative. It's the men and women in the House and Senate and the governor who can veto certain things.
Right.
And if the laws are signed and they pass, and then obviously lawyers such as myself are going to defend people, and then we're going to take cases to the Court of Appeals and then maybe to the Michigan Supreme Court, you need to pay attention to who you elect to the Court of Appeals and the Michigan Supreme Court.
Yes, we do.
So those are the men and women together with the local people who control our lives every day. Now, there's a big conflict between, okay, so the federal government, obviously, look, you hear all the politicians, immigration, national security, okay?
Right.
Very important, right?
Yes.
So today and yesterday, were you, if you think about your day, were you affected more by what goes on within your state or within the federal government?
I'd say the state.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I agree with a lot of people, you know, the federal government has, you know, does not recognize marijuana, you know, in the states where it's legal.
Right.
They just agreed to stay out and leave it alone and let the states have their sovereignty.
Okay.
The CDL laws, federal. So there's a lot of truckers out there who are affected every day who drive trucks. But the majority of us, as you wake up in the morning and go about your day, you're affected more what happens within your own state than nationally. So when I see all these people bitching and complaining online and in person at the post office about the race for president, I say, pay attention to what I'm telling you right now. Focus on who sits on the high court in your state.
Right.
How many of you out there, when's the last time you voted for someone on the Michigan Supreme Court? Think about it.
Right.
Okay. I don't even know if you can say who sits on a Michigan Supreme Court. How about the Court of Appeals? Those are the men and women who are controlling everything we do every day. Because us lawyers who are fighting the good fight in court, we're appealing the decisions and we're trying to work these laws through the system. And that's where the laws become law. And with your local elected officials. And it's the same people year after year who are getting elected to these local positions that control our lives. There you go.
There I go.
That's interesting, huh?
Yes,
it is. How
about
this? Somebody, you have a piece of property. Someone, you buy a piece of property or someone deeds you over a piece of property.
Okay.
You have to go register that deed with the Register of Deeds in the county in which the property is located.
Correct.
The federal government doesn't control that.
No, the county does.
There you go. Department of Natural Resources, DNR. Okay? They do a great job.
Yes, they do.
Right. That's not the federal government.
No, it's not. That's state.
There you go. Enough said on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, folks. I wanted to clarify that with think about that.
Yeah, I just learned a lot right there.
Is that a good point?
Yes, great point.
Your ability to obtain a driver's license in the state in which you live is not controlled by the federal government.
Correct.
It's controlled by the Secretary of State.
Yes, they control a lot.
That's it.
The whole state does everything.
Exactly.
Everything.
Exactly. Hey, we have to go to break. When we come back from break, we'll continue talking about, I have a lot of law here.
Yeah.
A lot of law. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Big segment, last segment. If you just missed the last segment, be sure to catch this show on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Podbean. We are podcasting, and it is free. And you can hear a lot of our shows we've done in the last 3, 4, 5 months. We've done years of shows. I just started podcasting in the last half a year. But we were talking about, as you go about your day, how much of the federal government compared to the state, local government actions affect your daily lives. And it's just something to think about, and it's pretty interesting. So anyhow, let's move on. I want to talk about dogs. I love dogs, and I want to welcome back to the show Tyler B. Webb. Tyler, welcome back.
Oh, it's always great to be back, Todd. You know that.
Yeah, and you're looking good on a Sunday morning.
As well as yourself. Come on now, that's where I got it from.
Yeah, how's Britt, Laura, and your grandfather doing?
Oh, they're great. I'm sure they're listening, excited, happy for the shout out, obviously. They love you, Todd. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about dogs for a minute because 2 weeks ago, and I've said this often, I took a bike ride. I was biking, all right? I started in Clare County, and I was going to go to Brereton. I think I'm saying that right, Brereton. It's kind of as people want to say Brereton, it's Brereton. An old logging town, so I'm told, from Papalani, out of Papalani's, right there on 66. Great place for pizza and everything else you need. But so I'm taking a ride. I'm cutting across Clare County into Isabella, heading towards Macosta. And I came upon a road, a dirt road. I'm zigzagging on my fat bike, and there's hills all over the place. I turn a corner, and I hear a dog barking. And I knew what was about to happen. This dog, it was some type of pit bull mix. I love pit bulls. I'm not knocking pit bulls. I have a lot of friends that own pit bulls.
Right.
I love those dogs.
Oh, they're good dogs.
I love all animals. But this dog came right at me. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll just speed up. And eventually, you know, it will, as they always do, because I get chased often. because, you know, it is what it is. I don't agree with it. People should keep an eye on their dogs. But I just started kicking it into gear. I'm cranking it. I've already gone about 16 miles on these backcountry roads. But I'm warmed up. My DNA's going. I took off on my fat bike. This dog, it was right on my back tire. And it would not stop. It kept coming. And I'm having to go faster and faster and faster. And then I started yelling at it. So as if I'm the alpha male. Like, you know, I'm not going to say what I said on the air.
Right.
But I tried to be the more of the aggressor. The dog kept coming after me, and there was a hill up ahead. And I'm going, I'm getting winded at this point. Yeah. I'm just being honest with you. It doesn't matter what shape you're in. When you are working out and you have to increase your workout, your heart rate is going to go up so fast, you can only keep that going for a short period of time before you get winded. It took about a quarter of a mile before this dog stopped.
Oh, man.
And I was at the point where I was slowing down. And to be honest with you, I was upset. I knew exactly where the house was. I knew this street. I'm not going to say it on the radio. But I really was going to, at some point, go back in my motor vehicle and talk to the homeowner. But I don't want to get attacked by the dog walking up to the house.
Right. It makes sense.
But there was no homeowner to be found. And typically, look, a dog will chase me. And I know it sounds ridiculous. I don't want to get chased by dogs. And I love dogs. They usually just back off once you're out of their territory. But apparently, this dog's territory must be this entire dirt road. So dogs can sense fear.
Oh, absolutely.
So my advice is remain calm. You're going to talk about the dog bite laws in Michigan here in a moment. Because if I had stopped my bike and that dog bit me, I'm going to have you tell the audience what would have happened to the homeowner.
Oh, yeah.
But remain calm if you encounter an angry canine. That's the first thing you should know. And remember, folks, dogs, you have German Shepherds.
Two of them, yeah.
What's the names?
Karma and Max. Love German Shepherds.
Big shout out to Karma and Max. And dogs tend to be territorial.
Oh, absolutely.
And once you leave their territory, they will usually lose interest. But if a dog's chasing you, you do have some options. First of all, think ahead of time about which are right for you. So if you're out there biking, jogging, I feel more so for the joggers and walkers. And people walking other dogs, I've heard horror stories where dogs have attacked other dog owners and actually the dogs.
Yep.
So it's pretty sad.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Now, they say, whoever they are, do not try to outrun the dog unless you are a very strong runner or rider. And if you cannot completely outrun this dog, you know, the dog, if you take off running and you can't outrun the dog, it's going to knock you down.
Oh, absolutely.
I used to have a bull mastiff. That's what they were trained for. So, but while on a bike, you know, don't try anything beyond your bike handling skills, folks. And they do say in a loud, firm voice, you know, say, no, bad dog. They say, go home. I'm not going to tell you what I shouted out loud. But, and if the dog, if you cannot outrun the dog, they say, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But dogs are pack animals. So try to be the alpha
absolutely.
Of that dog.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not saying that's good advice to be the alpha, but what else are you going to do?
I mean,
are you going to kick the dog? Some people might think I should kick the dog, grab a branch, climb up a tree. Again, I'm not going to tell you on the radio legally what you should do. I'm just telling you, be prepared in case you're in a situation ahead of time what you're going to do.
Yeah, you got to like you said, be prepared. That's
right,
the best way
exactly.
To put it.
But I would recommend you use the bike as a barrier. And scream and shout at the dog. You don't have to hurt the dog. Just use it as a barrier. And if it doesn't go away and you feel that your life is, that your well-being is at risk, then I'll leave it to your discretion as what to do with the bike and the dog.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not telling the audience what to
do. Oh, no, I understand that. Like you said, we love dogs. And sometimes, you know, it's just a territorial thing. They must have thought that you were barking up their tree, no pun intended. I mean, I don't know.
What's the law say?
Well, in Michigan, you have 3 years from the date of the bite to file a lawsuit. So if he would have bit you, you could have 3 years from that time point to go back and file a lawsuit. Michigan actually has a dog bite law. And in order to prove that the dog owner is liable, all you need to prove is that the injury that you incurred was from a dog bite. That the dog was not provoked. That's the biggest thing. If the dog was unprovoked and it attacked you, then you're in good shape to get the owner, you know, in trouble. The owner's liable.
First off, I'm on a public roadway. This dog I didn't provoke this dog.
Right.
You can't. The homeowner would not be able to argue, well, you shouldn't ride your bike on a public roadway past my farmhouse because you provoked my animal. Guess what? You're going to lose on that.
Right. Because,
and there's strict liability.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And then it says, you know, the last part of it is the incident occurred in a public place or a person was lawfully on private property where the bite occurred. And like you said, it is strict liability, which means you don't have to, like, the home or the dog owner doesn't have to know that the dog is dangerous or is going to bite in order for you to recover damages. If the fact that it happened is enough for you to recover damages.
Right. We actually, we're criminal defense attorneys, and I did mention during the first segment that we are now handling cyber cases.
Yes, we are.
And we'll talk about that more in weeks to come.
Absolutely.
In regards to what that cyber law involves. But we do field calls, and we will take dog bite cases. So if you are someone you know, this is a poor solicitor. I mean, we're not soliciting. We're just talking facts here. We can assist you.
It happens probably more often than people think.
If an animal bites you and you get bit by an animal, it's strict liability. You don't have to really prove any.
If it happened, and you know that's all you need. I mean, it does. You don't need the homeowner isn't or the dog owner. I don't know why I keep saying homeowner. The dog owner is not required to have any kind of knowledge that the dog may bite you. It's just the fact that it's an animal is enough.
So when does the negligence standard apply as opposed to strict liability?
Right. So that's Michigan common law that we're dealing with now. When we deal with negligence. If you sustain an injury that's not from a bite, so if the dog were to chase you and knock you down, or if it was chasing you on that public roadway and due to you speeding up, you wiped out, that's negligence at that point. That's the negligence standard because your injury wasn't specifically from a bite, but from the dog's other actions.
Okay, good information,
right,
Tyler.
Absolutely. Thank you. I did my research there. No, actually, guys, I knew all of that off the top of my head.
And Tyler, who are you?
A senior law clerk, Lovett Law Firm, future senior at Central Michigan University, going in my senior year now.
And you took the LSAT. You're on your way to law school.
On my way to law school, yep.
Any idea? I know you like the West, the Southwest of the United States.
Well, actually, University of Tennessee offered me a scholarship, so that's pretty cool. $10,000 a year, yep. You didn't know that?
How do you announce that to your family here? There's no one listening to the show. How do you announce that on a Sunday morning to yours truly, Todd
right.
L.
I've been keeping it a surprise.
I mean, are you the University of Tennessee?
Yep.
Tennessee?
Volunteers.
You're talking about Butch Jones,
yep.
Tennessee, Peyton Manning?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Go Orange. Yep.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Yep.
You're
but
going to the Appalachian.
The Rockies.
No, that's not the Rockies. That's out west.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're going south 175.
Oh, you're right. Yep.
Wow.
No,
that'd
be pretty cool.
We're going to Tennessee.
Whenever you guys want. No,
right.
We'll see where I end up. I don't know. It's kind of far from home, but we'll see. It's a pretty cool opportunity, and I'm excited for what the future holds.
You'll be able to save a lot of turtles in Tennessee.
There we go.
I'm
starting
an organization. Do not run over turtles.
Yeah, I mean, I feel terrible whenever I have run over any animal. But
I was fat biking a couple days ago. I talk about fat biking quite a bit. And there was a mother and two baby deer.
Okay.
And I know the hunters will say, well, why don't you call them by what a baby deer is called?
Right.
But I'm just saying there was a mother and two baby deers for those that don't hunt. And I stopped. I wanted to make sure I spooked them because I saw traffic oncoming.
Oh, right.
And I was concerned. And I stopped. The mother looked at me. I looked at her. We knew what we were doing. We had a connection. She turned around, and the babies followed her
good,
in the woods.
Good.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say when I was 6 or 7 years old, I made my dad pull over so we could help some turtles cross the road because I knew that they would probably get hit by the cars because, I mean, obviously they were taking forever to cross. And I knew, I was like, Dad, we have to stop. They're going to all die.
So if you're driving on a backcountry road or a road and you see an object, I never run over that object. It's just natural to sort of, you know, avoid your tires hitting that object because one, it could be something with a nail sticking out of it. But more often than not, it's either roadkill or a turtle.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I got news for you. You drive over roadkill and you get that car home, you're going to wish you had not. Nikki, how do you like that heart on her shirt?
Oh,
be
okay.
Respectful.
I love it.
I mean, be respectful.
I think that's actual size of her heart. I think she has a big heart.
Tyler, we'll talk about that during break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time...
What took you so long?
No, really. And if they missed the show or this episode and they're just catching it right now, how do they catch the whole episode?
They have to go to iTunes, SoundCloud, or Podbean.
We are podcasting for free. And folks, we've had a huge show.
Yes, we have.
We spoke about open carry laws in Michigan.
Yep.
We spoke about... What
government.
Else? Government.
As far as federal and state.
How the state and local municipalities affect your life on a daily basis as opposed to the federal government.
Yes, we did.
We had Tyler, who's going to come back on here in a moment, and he talked about dog bite laws.
Yeah, and he also broke some news, didn't he?
Nikki, what was that?
Congratulations about getting an offer for Tennessee.
University of Tennessee Volunteers. Yes. Butch Jones, former Central Michigan coach, then went to Cincinnati, and now he is at Tennessee, and Notre Dame coach was also a CMU guy who went to Cincinnati, and now he's at Notre Dame. Started off at Grand Valley, I think. Tyler's agreeing with me. Hey, by the way, Nikki.
Yeah.
We got a text from a friend of mine who's listening to the show during break, and he wants me to define open carry.
Okay.
So I'll do the best I can. I don't have any information in front of me, but to the best of my knowledge, open carry refers to the practice of openly carrying a firearm in public.
Correct.
As distinguished, as I did, from a concealed carry.
Yes.
So, and where I believe a firearm cannot be seen by the casual observer. Okay. So the act of publicly carrying a firearm on one's person, it has to be in plain sight. You got that?
Yes.
So how do you define plain sight, though? That's the question. Not hidden from common observations, I would say.
Okay.
What do you think about that? Not hidden. And I'm not reading anything. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. If you observe something, can you see it or can you not see it?
Right.
It's a matter of interpretation. And we were talking about, you know, if you have a coat, an overcoat on, and it's a little, the weather's cool, and it didn't, and you're open carrying, and you don't realize that it just covered
your weapon.
Your weapon. Now that's concealed.
Correct.
And if you don't have a CPL, you have no right to carry a concealed weapon. And we started talking about this because if you're convicted in the state of Michigan of operating while intoxicated or impaired, you're going to lose your CPL rights for a period of 3 years, but you can still open carry.
Right.
So, and it varies from state to state, so I would just look it up as to which states allow it and which states do not.
Yes, correct.
And the gun rights community, which I feel I'm one of, is very supportive of this practice, by the way.
That's good information there.
And is strongly opposed by gun control groups, as we know.
Right.
So, all right. I wanted to sort of clarify the definition in my mind what open carry is.
Right.
And, by the way, get out to J Sporting Goods today. Also, there's other small shop owners who sell ammo and guns up in Roscommon and throughout your local community. Support the small shops, and I love Jay's, I love Cabela's,
right?
But also support the men and women who run small shops.
Correct. Yes.
And they got some great products, and you know, if you pay more, but that's okay. I'm not saying you're going to, but you're supporting a small business.
Yes.
I think it's important to still support small businesses.
Well, yes, it's very important
because I don't care who is elected president, Republican or Democrat. My taxes have always gone up. Period.
You're right.
The tax code, I don't want to get into this because it's too complicated. It's ridiculous.
It is.
We had to study, in order to graduate from law school, we had to study the parts of the tax code. It was a book. It was so thick, it made literally no logical sense.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm just going to say this. Whoever's elected president, Republican or Democrat, my taxes have just been ridiculous, both at the state and the federal level.
Of course.
It doesn't matter when Granholm was, you know, governor. We have Snyder now. You know, whether Bush, George W., who I love George W., whether he was president or a Democrat, my taxes, I've always been jacked on taxes. I'm just going to say that.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of small business owners out there. When's the last time, you know, the middle class received any relief whatsoever? No,
none.
Zippo.
None.
None. Exactly.
No, so those are the ones who get taxed the most. Lately.
Oh yeah, our good friend Bob Townsend.
Yes.
He won his primary, and we need to send Dr. Bob Townsend to Lansing. So if you live in the 97th district, please support this show's friend, my personal friend, Dr. Bob Townsend, and send him to Lansing. Jeff Irwin out of Ann Arbor is termed out. And, Jeff's great, great supporter of the people. Bob is carrying the torch. And he'll be coming on the show.
Yes, he will.
So I want a big shout out to Bob.
There we go.
Yep, Tyler, there's something you wanted to add to that?
Oh, absolutely. I just want to congratulate Dr. Bob. I mean, like you said, he's a people's person. And if Irwin's not going to be able to represent our interests anymore, I'm glad that Dr. Bob can.
We still need to get him elected, though.
Oh, absolutely.
He won the primary.
So we got to keep going.
We got to keep going.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The first step, he conquered the first step. Now we got to conquer the second step. So we'll get him there.
Get out and vote.
Yeah, I don't
register.
I saw a good tweet one of my friends put out yesterday. It's like, anyone complaining about politics, if you didn't vote in the primaries, please stop complaining about it, because, if you're not going to have a say in it, if you then you have no reason to complain. If you're not going to vote, then don't complain about it.
My friend Sarah Spencer-Noggle, she's running for Isabella County Commissioner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know Sarah. Yeah, that's awesome. Sarah and Tom. Wow.
She'll be a great commissioner.
Yeah, she would, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's
they
awesome.
Have a law firm.
Yeah.
Tom Hausman, great lawyer. Sarah Spencer-Noggle, two great lawyers Isabella County. And they do work beyond Isabella County.
Yeah, they're very competent.
Yep.
Very
I just competent. Sent Dwight Carpenter a case.
Oh, really?
I love Dwight. Love Dan O'Neill, Jeff Lynch.
Dwight's great. Dwight's
Dave Barbary. I cannot get, Tom Bermel, Tony Moses, Chuck Moses, Got to give all my guys plugs.
Yeah, we have a good group of guys that
great group
association
of great
with.
Group of lawyers. Marie Winters, but Mike Hyde.
Todd Lovett.
Todd L. Levitt. If you're a lawyer plugging your competition, albeit they're your friends, what does that say about you? It says a lot about you.
Good character.
Hey, I want to clear up a misconception.
I need you to, because actually you just schooled me on this.
Okay.
I can't believe this. My whole life I was wrong about this.
If you're really, five people will tell you five different things about something. So if there's an issue and you're sitting around a table with your family, you'll get five different opinions as to what that person thinks is the right answer. But look, I don't golf. No offense. I know a lot of people golf. I'm way too ADHD to sit there and even watch golf. I can't. I used to play. You're a pitcher.
Yeah.
You were a left-handed pitcher.
I was.
In high school.
Yep, back in the day.
What was your fastest pitch?
I was like mid-80s fastball.
I was the king of T-ball.
There you go.
I was a football player, wrestle, track. I mean, I played soccer. But here's the thing. I can tell you for a fact that if you need an answer to something, ask somebody who literally knows the answer. And often we talk about bicycling on this show, and people say to me, hey, Todd, am I right that when I bike on a road that's open to the public, I'm supposed to go against traffic? And I say to these people, are you freaking kidding me? Are you really serious? You're going to bike on the left-hand side of the road against oncoming traffic? Well, yeah, I want them to see me. Okay, guess what, folks? You're wrong. That's not the law. You have to bike on the right side of the road, whichever part of the road you're on. You always bike on the right side with traffic, at your back.
Yeah, I can't.
Did you know that?
No, absolutely not. You asked me, and I said, against traffic. That way, if they're about to hit you, you can swerve out of the way. But it's actually a law. It's MCL 257.657 that they must ride on the right half of the roadway. That blew my mind.
And by the way, folks, if you're going to walk, exercise, be out there, wear bright colors. I wear, that when we cleaned our highway recently?
Yeah.
The highway down by Ithaca?
Yeah, right there.
You did a great job, by the way.
But we were out there forever, man. It was hot that day, too. But, hey, we have to clean up the highway. I'm happy doing it.
Yeah, I showed up with a dress shirt on, then I took it off.
Yeah, and you just had on your vest.
I looked pretty cool.
Yeah, no, yeah, you did.
I had some,
You've been working out, I can tell.
Well,
I
bike.
Yeah.
But I always wear bright colors. Why would you go biking with a brown or black T-shirt or bike jersey?
Yeah.
Bright yellow or orange.
To all you guys walking around trying to catch Pokemon, keep your reflective colors on. Keep your reflective colors on.
We're a strip, for God's sakes. Yeah. We're yellow, but not just yellow. There's certain types of yellow that are reflective yellow.
Right. Absolutely. And that's important. Knowing whether you're biking or whatever, don't want to get hurt.
Or you could also get reflective socks.
Okay.
Caps.
Okay.
There's so much. I'm a gear junkie. There's so much gear out there, Tyler. So, but hey, we've had a huge show, Tyler. We're so happy to have you on the show, and you'll be back next week.
Can't wait.
So big shout out to?
Yep, big shout out to, like I said, my parents. And I also want to give a shout out to Jackie Starr. She's our great receptionist. Oh, she does. Not even reception, office manager. Why did I say that? I'm sorry, Jackie.
But Jackie, I refer to Jackie as she's our alpha female here at the law firm. And men, look, I'm just going to say this whether you like it or not. I conceded a long time ago that women do run certain parts of my life. And if you're going to own a business, not just your daily lives, you need an alpha female to help guide you through it.
Oh, absolutely.
And Jackie is...
She keeps us in line.
She should be the first woman president.
Oh, I would write Jackie in for president.
If you don't know my Jackie Starr, who's married to the handsome and talented Anthony Starr,
yes,
great family.
And he's listening.
We love Anthony.
Yes.
No, Anthony Starr... Sharp guy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Now I know why they're a couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what can you say? He's got a chiseled chin, high cheekbones.
There you go.
Good head of hair.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But she's just 989-772-6000.
Yep. Right. And she'll handle everything.
Oh, man. She's unbelievable. But look, Tyler, let's turn it over to Nikki. We'll see you next week on the show.
Absolutely. Can't wait, guys. Don't forget to tune in on iTunes if you didn't catch the beginning part of this show or any of the other shows.
Yep. Nikki, what can I say? What a huge show.
Yes, it was. It was an awesome show. It was a lot of papers you went through.
And you did what they do at the Oscars. You did a wardrobe change. Now you're wearing a tennis ball green t-shirt with nothing on it. So I don't know what happened there, but this is not the Oscars. This is the Title Level Law Show. Todd Drockblock featuring Tyler B. Webb and Nikki Morissette right here, 98.5 WPS. It is time to go.
Yes, it is.
So everybody have a happy, healthy, safe Sunday morning.
Yes.
Go out and live.
That's right.
So we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Yes, I will.
I'm not just a litigator.
You're an advocator.
Van Halen, take us out.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, the Sour Apple Smoke Shop in Mount Pleasant, the best damn smoke shop around, Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District. Send a doctor to the house. SafeRide Associates. Check with Neil for all your communication needs, from intercom to CB to Bluetooth. And by Innovative Insulation Solutions. For those cold and hot days, make sure your insulation pays.